not here with my stuff.
House Labor and Commerce will now come to order. It's 3:16 on February 24th. With us today, we have Representative Ledoux, Representative Tilton, Representative Hughes, Representative Kido, and myself, Chair Olson. We do have a quorum. Please turn off your cell phones. The only item we have on the calendar today is House Bill 304, Electronic Tax Returns, Tobacco, and E-Cigs Tax. We heard the presentation of the bill last Friday by the administration. Today, we're taking public testimony. We won't be closing out the public testimony. We'll be taking it again in several days as well. I encourage any member of the public that would like to be part of the permanent record to submit a hard copy of their testimony to hlac@akleg.gov. We will then scan it, and it will be part of the permanent record within 24 hours. I guess we will start today with Anchorage LIO. Isaac Howell, are you with us? Mr. Howell, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name and affiliation, and thank you for joining us today. And please limit your comments to 3 minutes.
Good afternoon, committee members. My name is Isaac Howell, and I own Cold Base 907, located in Anchorage. I am here to oppose Bill 304, which would increase my wholesale tax by 100%. I have 5 employees. I pay $2,100 in real estate, $5,000 in insurance for the year. I also supporting businesses that will be affected, such as mail delivery companies like FedEx, UPS, and USPS. Facilities maintenance, and other related businesses in the city. Cold Base 907 is a family-run business. My employees will lose their jobs, and the businesses they support will lose money. This is a tax bill, is an unemployment bill for the vaping industry in Alaska. The vaping industry, such as I run, is a small family-operated business. We are not big tobacco, and we are not big pharmaceutical. In the U.S., smoking is the leading cause of preventable death. Within the last few years, it is estimated that 9 million former smokers have reduced or completely eliminated putting deadly smoke from tobacco in their lungs because of their use of the vaping products. 5 years ago, I smoked about a pack and a half of cigarettes a day. I was having trouble breathing. I woke up every morning with uncontrollable coughing. This weighed heavy in my mind because I have small children and I wanted to be around for them. I decided that I wanted to quit, and I tried traditional methods, the gum, patches, Chantrex, and lozenges. These methods were ineffective and did nothing in helping me with my cravings. I always returned to the deadly crutch of cigarettes. One day, while out running errands, I saw a man using an electronic cigarette or a vaping device at my local coffee house. Intrigued, I asked the man what he was smoking, and as smoking was being banned inside businesses, he explained that he wasn't smoking at all, he was vaping, and I proceeded to tell me about his device and how it worked. He explained how it had changed his life. Upon his advice and recommendation, I went to do online research. 4 years ago, there wasn't a local vape shop in the area, so I struggled to find the right information. Passing this bill would shut down these local vape shops and force smokers to struggle, as I did, to get the right setup. Please do not pass this tax bill. Put me and my family out of business and force my employees to start relying on the state for income. Vapers are going to continue to vape and order online. It would behoove you to deny this bill and continue to profit off of my business the way you are now. Peering through the mist conducted by Dr. Igor Bernstein of the National University School of Public Health, based on over 9,000 observations that e-cigarette liquid and vapor, found no apparent concern for bystanders exposed to e-cigarettes and vapor, even under the worst case assumptions were too exposed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I'd like the record to reflect we were joined by Representative Josephson a couple minutes into the meeting. And next up, Shel Garfield, Anchorage.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Shep Garfield. I used to work for Catheter Vapor. I'm an avid vapor, ex-smoker of 20 years. Quit smoking 3 years ago due to finding vapes. I'm here to oppose HB 304. The device I use is made of multiple components that do not contain nicotine, but with this tax, those components will be taxed. I use a liquid referred to as e-liquid that contains propylene glycol, vegetable glycerin, nicotine, and flavoring. That liquid also would be taxed. I made the switch from combustible tobacco or smoking to a vapor device for health reasons and for the cost decrease in the products. With this tax, the liquid I use would be doubled in price. I contacted liquid manufacturers, asked what their wholesale price was, and found out the drastic difference in pricing. Reserve editions of the liquid, which are like a fine wine or an aged scotch, can cost wholesale anywhere from $20 to $40 a bottle, while non-reserve liquids cost anywhere from $5 to $9 a bottle. As a consumer, these prices would double for my retailer, which means they're going to double for me, making the use of an e-cigarette double or even triple the price of cigarettes. This tax will literally make it cheaper for people to smoke than to use an e-cigarette, which a report by Professor John Brighton and Dr. Bogdanovica for Public Health England titled Electronic Cigarettes. In section 3.4, it states the relevance of electronic cigarettes to harm reduction. Electronic cigarettes emerged on the UK market at around the time of 2007, the Royal College of Physicians report, which advocated making alternative sources of medicinal nicotine available to smokers as a competitive and non-medical alternative to tobacco. The rapid uptake of electronic cigarettes since then, despite uncertainties over the uncertainties of electronic cigarettes, purity and performance, they demonstrate that, as has been the case with Swedish snus, many smokers welcome the availability of a choice in nicotine products, and if provided with products that are attractive, affordable, easily available, will use them in either conjunction with or in the long term instead of tobacco cigarettes. Electronic cigarettes also appeal to smokers by mimicking the sensation and appearance of smoking a cigarette, and by their market positioning as a lifestyle rather than a medical product. Electronic cigarettes and their various new generation nicotine devices in development clearly have potential to reduce the prevalence of smoking in the UK. The challenges are in the harness to potential and maximize the benefits and minimize the risks of it. Taxing these devices and liquids would cause a decrease in users and more harm because people would not be able to afford these devices. The unfortunate end result would be increased healthcare rates that have dropped recently due to the decrease of smokers thanks to these devices and the 25 shops around our state.
Well, thank you very much. Stephen Mapes, Kenai.
Good afternoon, Chair Olson, members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. My name is Steve Mapes, and I do reside in Kenai. I am speaking on behalf of the hundreds of adults on the Kenai Peninsula who have made the choice to vape instead of smoke. I will be referring to the document that I'm pretty sure you guys got, Peering Through the Mist, What Does the Chemistry of Contaminants in Electronic Cigarettes Tell Us About Health Risks? This is by Dr. Bernstein. Adults choosing to vape instead of smoke look to information like this, research documents, to help them make informed decisions. Dr. Bernstein is an accomplished educator and researcher in the field of environmental and occupational health. His research primarily focuses on identification and sources and health and the health impacts of occupational and environmental exposures. In the research that Dr. Bernstein conducted and published in 2013 on the tobacco replacement devices and e-liquids, he found that the threshold limit values, they call them the TLVs, of the contaminants of the vapor produced from these devices were magnitudes below the involuntary workplace exposure levels established by OSHA. These figures are shown on Table 1A on page 16 of that document I was referring to, Peering Through the Mist. They are also on Table 1B on page 17 and on table 2 of page 18 of the document. On page 13 of this document are found the key conclusions that Dr. Burstein made about the vapors. The abstract on page 1 also states the results and conclusions of his research. These products have saved Alaskan smokers who have switched to vaping thousands of dollars, and because they are not painting their lungs with tar and filling their bloodstream with carbon monoxide dioxide, they have had a tremendous positive impact on their lives. If these products are so severely taxed that Alaskans find they are more expensive than tobacco products, their choices for a better nicotine delivery system are drastically reduced. Putting a draconian tax on something that is an alternative to tobacco seems crazy. I thank you for your time and your thoughtfulness on this issue.
Well, thank you for joining us today and participating. What's the weather?
Oh, it's pretty warm down here right now. It was raining this morning. The roads were sluggard and snot, but they're pretty good now. I'll probably know more on my way back to work.
Well, thanks again for joining us.
Yep. Thank you.
Let's see. William Boyles, Anchorage, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for joining us today. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Hi, everybody. My name is William Boyles, and I'm from Anchorage, Alaska, and I'm not affiliated with anybody. I'd like to say that I strongly oppose Bill 304. I started vaping last October, would be 2 years ago. I started researching ways to quit smoking in 2009 after smoking ravaged my father's lungs, and he passed away in 2009 from smoking-related illness. And I tried using lozenges, gums, and everything, and nothing had worked. And my neighbor had a little vape pen, and I asked him what that was, and he showed me, and I, like, instantly fell in love with it. I went out, I bought my own setup, and I have been smoke-free for just over 2 years now. And when I first stopped, I had an enlarged heart and with extreme high blood pressure, and ever since I started vaping, all that has gone away. And my doctor is happy about the drastic changes in my health.
Well, thank you very much. Next we'll have Emily Ninon. Are you with us? Emily?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, I think I'm unmuted now. Good afternoon, Chair Olson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Emily Ninon. I'm the Alaska Government Relations Director for the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. And I apologize. I'm just getting over whatever virus I picked up when I was in Juneau last week.
It's been going around, believe me.
Oh, I know. I think I got out of there just in time. But I do want to address some things. I've been working on tobacco policy in this state for about 15 years. I've worked on a number of tax campaigns, both local campaigns within Alaska and the last statewide tax campaign in 2004. And there's a few things that I think need to be highlighted here in this conversation. And one is the reason why, just the basic reason why this issue would be brought forward at all. I know that a lot of people are looking at this in a time of budget crisis. This is first and foremost a public health measure. It is a public health measure with a side benefit of reducing costs for the state. The money that will be brought in from the tax will help to a little bit to offset the smoking attributable costs in the state. The State Health Department has done an analysis of how much smoking caused costs are per pack sold in the state of Alaska. Those costs are $20 a pack. That's what it averages out to. If you take the $438 million in healthcare costs and there's lost productivity due to premature death to the state annually, that averages out to $20 a pack. So we are not taxing anywhere near what would be required to recoup those costs. My concern is not so much about that revenue piece, but about the potential for particularly impacting youth taking up smoking. We've seen tremendous strides in that area over the last 20 years. We've had a 70% decline in youth smoking in this state, which is something we can all be very, very proud of. The second piece of this conversation that I want to bring forward does have to do with the electronic cigarettes, and that is where we have a real pediatric epidemic on our hands. There's some issues I just want to bring forward, and that is just a reminder that I wish all the people well who have been able to get off cigarettes by using e-cigarettes, and I hope that they're able to continue that and be able to quit e-cigarettes as well. I have concerns over them, as does my organization, because they're an unregulated product. There are hundreds of different products on the market. There's no way to know what's in any given one. This is a problem even for the wholesalers and retailers when you've got no regulations on the supply chain. When you're talking about youth and the explosion we've seen with now more Alaska high school students using e-cigarettes than are smoking, we have to remember that many electronic cigarettes, when tested, even ones that said they didn't have any nicotine in them, were found to have nicotine in them. Products that had a particular amount of nicotine advertised, that can vary from product to product. This is not a criticism of the retailers. It's a problem with our whole system. But we're just dealing with an unregulated product, and we can't pretend that this is the same as an FDA-regulated cessation product.
Emily, can you wrap it up, please?
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, can you wrap it up, please?
Yes. And so just in closing, want to remind the committee that nicotine in and of itself is a neurotoxin and pesticide. And I'm very concerned about this increase in youth taking up another form of nicotine addiction. Thank you.
Can I ask?
Certainly. Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Neenan or Neon?
Yes, Neenan.
Neenan. Andy Josephson here. You started your testimony talking about, well, actually it wasn't the very beginning, but you used the word pediatric epidemic.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I mean, because epidemic is a type of disease, isn't it? And I just was...
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, I use that phrase because I believe that we do have a public health epidemic on our hands in terms of, while not the same as a classic virus, it is moving in the same manner. Of seeing this tremendous uptick in e-cigarette use among youth, and then the corollary being we're seeing this on the national level. We'll know in another year when we have Alaska data on this, seeing kids that have never smoked starting with e-cigarettes and moving into smoking. We are already seeing that trend on a national level. It's very disturbing.
A follow-up?
Certainly.
Ms. Neenan, you said that that there, you read a report that said e-cigarettes that were marked as no nicotine still had it. Can you tell us the name of that report?
I would be happy to send the committee further information on that particular point.
Okay. And my last question, if I may.
Sure.
You said that the sense I got from your testimony was e-cigarettes are bad, but they were probably an improvement over regular smoking. And I'm trying to remember where you said that in my notes. But that was sort of something you inferred, I thought. Is that your belief that it beats tobacco?
Through the chair, if I may clarify, Representative Josephson. I've heard an analysis which I think bears repeating, and that is when you ask the question, are e-cigarettes less harmful than the combusted cigarette? People need to remember that it's the combusted cigarette has 69 known human carcinogens and over 3,000 chemical compounds. It's not actually difficult to be less harmful than the combusted cigarette.
Okay, thank you.
But that doesn't remove the danger and some of the toxins that we're seeing, volatile organic compounds, the carcinogens that are specific to coming from tobacco that we're finding in electronic cigarettes. Plus, you've got the whole added factor of ultrafine particles that come when you heat a product above the level where normally you would just have combustion. You have smaller particles that can go straight from the lungs into the bloodstream.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks again, Emily. Angela Carroll from Wasilla. Are you with us?
I'm here.
Oh, thanks for joining us today. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Sure. Good evening, Chairman and members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. My name is Angela Carroll, and I reside in Wasilla. I'm speaking on behalf of over 14 vape shops throughout Alaska who are members of the Smoke-Free Alternative Trade Association. Our organization employs over 50 Alaskans in this industry, and we believe that these products provide alternative to smoking combustible cigarettes. Please refer to your committee packets for reports from the likes of the Mayo Clinic and Public Health in England about vapor products and the benefits to adults who are addicted to cigarettes, combustible cigarettes. Senate Bill 133 proposes to include a tax on vapor products at 100% of the wholesale price of the product, which would bring our industry from 0% to 100% tax rate overnight. Please keep in mind that to provide these vapor products, there is an upfront cost to the consumer. That can be as much as $100, and with the newly imposed taxes, these products could cost as much as $200. This is a huge price increase for the end consumer to buy this alternative to smoking. By comparison, a cheap and easily obtainable combustible cigarette would become the alternative to using a vapor product. SB 133 would deter current smokers from switching to a vapor product. The members of the Smoke-Free Alternative Trade Association anticipate that this proposed tax will drive people either back to combustible cigarettes or they will turn to the internet to purchase the vapor products at a reduced tax rate or no taxes at all, rather than buying them from a local mom-and-pop vape stores. This would not be good for the Alaskan economy or for the hardworking Alaskans who provide this alternative to smoking here in Alaska. For these two reasons, we believe that this proposed tax will eliminate the vape industry here in Alaska. That is no exaggeration. This will eliminate the vape industry. These men and women are small business owners. They are not big tobacco. Big tobacco can afford those taxes. Most people have sunk their life savings into funding their dream of helping people kick this habit of big tobacco. If this tax is imposed on vapor products, the failures will be twofold, financially, from local businesses closing, and health-wise. The Smoke-Free Alternative Trade Association requests that SB 133 be amended to remove all references to vapor products from the bill. If this legislation passes as it's written, our small association will become yet another victim of taxation gone wild. Thank you for taking the time this evening to listen to Alaskans about this proposed legislation.
Thank you very much for joining us today, and we've been joined by Representative Culver. Jennifer Vargason, Fairbanks.
Hi, Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for your time and for allowing me to share my concerns with House Bill 304. For the record, my name is Jennifer Vargason of North Pole, Alaska, originally from Kwikluk. Vaping has saved my family from the ball and chain of tobacco use, and I'm thankful for that. I'm healthier, and my husband is healthier, and my family is healthier. Why this bill would include taxing vaping as the same thing as tobacco products is beyond me. Vapor products do not contain tobacco, and there is no combustion. Current research has shown that vaping does not have the harmful effects of smoking, and there are no concerns for bystanders. The ingredients in the liquid are in everyday foods that we consume. Yes, there can be nicotine in liquid, but there has been studies that show that nicotine is safe as caffeine. The article, Is Everything We Know About Nicotine Wrong? Dr. Neff even states instances where nicotine has been known to help certain conditions such as Alzheimer's, depression, Parkinson's, and more. It has been found that in those demographics, tobacco use is higher. Alternatives to tobacco could help those demographics. I have been a tobacco user since I was about 9 years old. Since then, I have gone from Ipnik, which is a natural tobacco mixed with punk ash, something we use out in the villages a lot, Copenhagen, and cigarettes, and I've never been able to quit. I will be honest and tell you that when I first came upon vaping, I rolled my eyes and thought that it was just another fad, that it doesn't work. I was disgusted that my husband would vape, and I was very hesitant to try it until I had witnessed him going without a cigarette for over a month. I was amazed when I had seen him try several different methods of quitting, which none of them were working. I did a little bit of research, and after seeing the results in person, I decided to give it a try. When I started vaping, I vaped while I was off of work, but I still used Ipnik during normal work hours. But since December of 2014, I have been without tobacco completely and feel way better. I have dropped my nicotine levels from 1.2% down to 0.3% in the liquids that I use. Nearly 28 years from tobacco use, and I haven't picked a cigarette up or any form of tobacco since. Please reconsider House Bill 304. Thank you again for taking your time to listen to my testimony.
And thank you for joining us today. We have one more in Kenai, Patricia Patterson. Are you with us, Patricia?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for joining us today, and please state your name and affiliation for the record.
My name is Patricia Patterson. I am a business owner. I own Lucky Raven Incorporated, but I'm also a voting resident of the state. I hope this bill does not go through. This bill is not about prevention. This bill is not about whether you or I like vaping or tobacco or even taxes. This bill is primarily designed to help us all Alaskans that we have with trying to get more revenue to our state. We're all in this predicament together. Our state is definitely suffering from some financial issues. So the question is this bill a way to go at it? The reason I disagree with it is half of the items on this bill that you want to tax are going to do nothing but create an atmosphere where we buy those products from another state. And that seems directly against what we're trying to do, which is have our state make more money. I currently, in my store, have a walk-in humidor where I sell premium cigars. I am currently one of three stores left in Alaska who have gone away from the first tax of 75%. All cigars can be bought anywhere in the United States tax-free for your personal use. So now we're introducing to do the same thing to vape. So when people talk about the industry going away, it does happen. It did happen. You could get rid of the word 100% tax on cigars and just name three stores, three of us. That's all that's left. I would love to support the state in helping it find the revenue it needs so that we, as a state, can fund the programs we all want to enjoy and rely on as citizens. taxing products that can be easily bought in another state, or taxing products that are already taxed at the highest in the country is not the way to do it. I appreciate your time.
Patricia, just to clarify one point, this is not our bill. This bill is the governor's bill.
Well, we all own it. You know, we're all, I say you and me, this is just part of the goal to make more money for our state.
Well, thank you very much for participating with us. Is there anybody else on the line? Seeing that, I'd like the anybody in the room that's or anybody who's listening, we're in the middle of budget closeouts. And we're going to hold this bill open and public testimony open as well. And any comments from the members? Seeing none, we will gavel out at 10 minutes to 4.